Here's a bit of Catholic trivia for you. Each bishop, as we know, has a cathedral, which is the seat of his authority. So where is the Pope's cathedral church? Now, most people jump at this and say, well, St. Peter's, of course. But actually, the correct answer is the Basilica of St. John Lateran in Rome, the church that we're celebrating today. This church is dedicated to Christ our Savior, and also to St. John the Baptist and St. John the Evangelist. And on the facade of the church are the words written in Latin, the mother and head of all the churches of Rome and of the world. And under the main altar at this basilica are the remains of a wooden altar on which St. Peter celebrated Mass. Now, this basilica was originally built in the 300s by Constantine and was the home of the popes for 1,000 years after that. But more than just celebrating a church building, we celebrate what that building signifies. It's a sign of the universal church, and it's also a sign of our love and union with the See of Peter. If you've ever visited the Lateran, you know that there are statues of the 12 apostles lining the nave of the church. And most of the apostles are holding the instrument of their own martyrdom. So, for example, St. Simon, who was sawn in two, he's holding a very large saw. St. Andrew holds the X-shaped cross, which was the form of his crucifixion. These statues are over 20 feet tall, so they're huge. And they symbolically hold up the church because they're lining the nave. This is a visual reminder that the Catholic Church has apostolic foundations. And why is this important? Well, because we have apostolic succession. The fact that the apostles, having received their power and authority from Christ himself, then handed on that power and authority to their successors through the laying on of hands. And so today, the church continues to be taught, guided, and sanctified through the apostles in the person of the Pope and of the bishops. The readings today teach us an important lesson about human dignity. In the Gospel, Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Now, he was talking, again, not about the physical structure of the temple, but about his own death and resurrection. And this is why St. John adds, he was speaking about the temple of his body. The temple of his body. Yes, the human body is a beautiful creation. Just look at the intricate systems of the body and how all the parts work together as one coherent unit. But we face a major problem when we separate body from soul, when we care only for the body to the neglect of the soul. And incidentally, this is why pornography is so degrading. St. John Paul II said that pornography doesn't show too much, rather, it shows too little. It reduces the human person to an object of pleasure, thus depriving that person of human dignity. Every single person is made in the image and likeness of God, but pornography blurs that divine image, and soon people become enslaved to this warped view of the human person. If this is something that you're struggling with, please bring it to the light. Bring it to the mercy of Christ in the sacrament of confession. In reality, yes, the body does have great dignity, such that we say in the Apostles' Creed, "I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen." Our body plays a vital role in our lives on earth, and so it makes sense that it will also share our eternal reward. In our second reading, St. Paul said, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" We have dignity because God has given us life, because he dwells in us. We're made in his image and likeness. And this gift is an endowment which can never be lost and never be taken away. We don't have less dignity because of suffering, because of mental illness or physical handicap, or because a baby is still in its mother's womb. Every human being has dignity. In today's world, though, so much attention is given to the temple of the body, but what are we doing to feed our soul? How much time are we spending with the Lord in prayer each day? Certainly, we must respect our body as a gift from God, but we don't worship it, and nor do we treat it as an object. Last weekend, we heard about the tragic death of Brittany Maynard, the young woman from Oregon who committed suicide with the help of her doctors. With her body weakening with advanced brain cancer, she ended her own life tragically. And this practice of physician-assisted suicide, as it's called, legal in 5 states already, shows how low our society has fallen. When we seek to become masters of life and death, we usurp God's own authority, which was that original temptation in the Garden of Eden, when the serpent said, "You will be like God." We are stewards, not owners, of the gift of life that God has given to us. And for this reason, life is not ours to dispose of. And that's why the quote-unquote death with dignity mantra is so absurd. Dignity is something different than putting an end to life. We have human dignity because we image God the Creator. And that image can't be lost. Therefore, we oppose the argument that people with terminal illnesses should have a right to end their life. Killing yourself is a bad thing because it says no to life. It says no to our duties and relationships in the world. Although Brittany's action was wrong, we can't judge her because we don't know the final state of her soul. Now, we know that there are 3 conditions necessary for a mortal sin. There's grave matter, there's sufficient freedom, and deliberate consent. So externally, yes, we are dealing with grave matter. But the other 2 conditions, sufficient freedom and deliberate consent, may have been lacking in her case. And so we should pray for her even more, and for all those who are contemplating suicide. It's hard for me to imagine the fear and the pain that some people are facing, because I'm not in their shoes. But ultimately, suffering makes sense only in light of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus willed to suffer on our behalf, to die for us. But some people say, "How can a good God allow me to suffer like this?" Or, "God doesn't understand my pain." My brothers and sisters, He does. He does understand our pain. He laid down His life for us and so achieved the victory over death and suffering through His own death. When we suffer, we unite our pain to His, and then our suffering too becomes salvific. And so suicide is never the answer to our problems. But as we know, suicide victims often are not thinking clearly. The Catechism teaches, we should never despair of eternal salvation of persons who have taken their own lives. By ways known to Him alone, God can provide the opportunity for repentance. So if we could find some loophole, some way to give suicide victims a second chance, we hope that God will do the same, because He is more merciful than we are. Earlier this week, I read an editorial which spoke about how it's only a matter of time before science will find a cure for death, that soon no one will have to die. I was truly dumbfounded by the author's argument. For one thing, it's not going to happen. I don't know anyone who has made it out of here alive. Besides, what's an endless life here on Earth look like? We know that we weren't made for this life alone. But as a society, we fear death. And I think partly it's because very few people are at peace with God. They view death as the great unknown. But really, death is our passage to God, who is not unknown, but rather he's well known to the person who gets to know him while on earth. As I said last weekend, November is the time when we remember, when we pay attention to our own death. Are we at peace with God? If not, what concrete steps can we be taking to reach that peace? Ultimately, Christ alone brings the true peace that we desire, and he wants to live in us through the sacraments, especially through the sacrament of confession and the sacrament of the Eucharist, his most holy body and blood. Avail yourself of the grace that comes through these sacraments. Get to know him now through prayer and the sacraments, such that we won't fear death when it comes. As St. Paul said, "For the temple of God, which you are, is holy." As we remember our closeness to the Pope today and pray for him on this feast of St. John Lateran, we also seek to live with a healthy respect for our bodies, the temples of the Holy Spirit, always remembering that we also have to nourish our soul as well, because we are persons made of body and soul, created in the image and likeness of God. And we know that our suffering and death have meaning because of Jesus, who suffered, died, and rose from the dead so that we too might rise to eternal life. May God bless you.